British scholar N.T. Wright, often goes by the first name Tom, and he tells about one of his most embarrassing moments in church. It was an Easter Sunday morning, and he had gotten to church early, thinking that he was there early enough to find a spot inside the church. But he was not early enough, and so when he got there, there was a long line out the door, and it wasn't moving. And he stood there a few moments and began to think about what he was going to do. Clearly, the church was packed. And all of a sudden, a familiar voice greeted him from behind, and he turned around and he saw an acquaintance, an older gentleman, very distinguished, and he admits he was sort of proud to have been recognized by this gentleman and singled out in the crowd. And the gentleman came over to him and leaned in and in hushed tones said, "Come with me." So, N.T. Wright says they made their way through the crowd, past the line, up to an usher. "I am Lord Smith." Now, Tom Wright says he does not tell us what his true name was to protect Lord whoever he was. But he said, "I am Lord Smith," to the usher. "I would be grateful if you could only find my friend and I somewhere to sit." And Tom says before he could think, they were escorted to the front of the church where they were given excellent seats. But, he says, he couldn't enjoy the service, because throughout the entire service, he couldn't stop thinking about James chapter 2. We know that how we look affects how we are treated in the world. Think about it. If you're going to go buy a car, what do? You take off all your jewelry, and you put on the most common clothes you own, and you go to the car dealership. Right? And we know if you want to avoid being chosen to sit on a jury, when you get called for jury duty, you put on the most smart-looking business suit you own, and a really nice leather attaché case goes with you, and you sit looking very studious the entire time they are picking the jury, and they won't pick you. And if we're honest, every now and then, how we look affects how we treat one another at church. James knows that there have been whispers amongst the community about visitors at church. People have come. This is first century. People have come into the community and there have been whispers about, "Hey, you really have to meet so-and-so. He is such and such, and she does such and such." And the blanks were filled in with jobs and relatives, honors and accolades and tales of grandeur. And every now and then there were whispers more like this. "Do you know who that is? Came in all by himself. Really quiet. Did anybody see what kind of car he was driving? No car? You think she's looking for assistance? Wonder why he's here." Okay, so in the first century, the whispering wasn't about what kind of car they were driving. But I am sure that they had some similar sort of whisper that they were doing. And whispers like that still reverberate in the church today. Now, sometimes it's common concern for safety at the root of our exchange. And when that's the motivation, it's understandable in our day and age. But our welcome to all is to be the same. James is very clear. The holy place is not like the marketplace. And often, the poor in the world are rich in faith. And they are the heirs of the kingdom of God. If anyone should be treated preferentially in the church, It is the poor who come in their shabby clothes, says James. And if they come in threadbare clothes and they don't have enough food to eat, having faith requires the community to care for them and to meet their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. Because the law of God is that we shall love each other as we love ourselves. We can't pick and choose who we will love with acceptance and tolerance. And the holy place is where we learn how to love each other, to treat each other without partiality. The word for community is derived from three root words: com, that means together or with; moin, which means to change, go, or move; and unis, which means oneness or union. To come together in oneness, community. To come together in oneness. When people in our world today say they are spiritual but not religious, and so they don't go to church, they are missing the point of coming to church. They don't understand the purpose of church. The main goal of coming to church is not to ensure our individual salvation. We don't come here so that when we die, we will go to heaven. That's not our motivation. We come to church to learn and to practice how we live because we have faith. Church is about community. To come together in oneness. We come here to learn to live how God intended us to live, to be unified as the body of Christ in the world. There is no special seat for the Lord or the lady, and there is no blind eye to the needs of one another at this table. For this is the holy place, and here all are welcome. Thanks be to God. Amen.